the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, January the 3rd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The feds grant Texas a $25 billion Medicaid waiver extension. Also on our nationwide rundown, family planning said to drive the decline in unintended pregnancies in Colorado. And clean elections watchdogs are keeping a close eye on the legal wranglings over West Virginia's election disclosure law. Now our top story, President Donald Trump used Twitter Tuesday to send a message to a nuclear-armed dictator, quoting Trump's tweet. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. While summoned from his depleted and food-starved regime, please inform him that I, too, have a nuclear button, but it is a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works. Now, the Times reports South Korea on Tuesday responded to an overture from the North and proposed holding high-level talks between the countries on their border next week. The Times notes that Kim Jong-un had suggested Monday that the countries open dialogue on easing military tensions and on the possibility of the North's participating in the Winter Olympics in the South. That, even as he noted, he had a nuclear button on his desk. Healthcare providers in Texas getting a $25 billion shot in the arm with the five-year extension of a Medicaid program by the federal government. More on the story from Mark Richardson.
The plan, known as 1115 Demonstration Waiver, is considered a low-cost alternative to traditional Medicaid. It provides hospitals and other caregivers with incentives to improve care access and quality and helps pay for uncompensated care. Stacy Wilson, who heads the Children's Hospital Association of Texas, says since Texas chose not to expand full Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act, the waiver extends coverage to many low-income patients who might otherwise go without.
We're very excited about the opportunity to continue the waiver because, number one, we've seen a lot of improvements in outcomes and lowering the cost of care. And number two, it helps shore up our safety net hospitals like our children's hospitals who are so heavily reliant on Medicaid.
The Obama administration originally approved the 1115 waiver for Texas in 2011, but it was set to expire December 31st. Medicaid expansion under the ACA was meant to replace the waiver program, but some states, including Texas, declined to expand Medicaid.
The extension, which runs through 2022, apparently came just in time for Texas. Federal officials say they will not approve any more states' requests to renew funding for waivers. Colorado, meantime, making progress in reducing the number of teen pregnancies and abortions. Eric Galatis has more.
Colorado's teen birth and abortion rates continue to drop thanks to a state family planning program. According to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, the initiative saved taxpayers almost $70 million between 2009 and 2015. Karen Middleton with NARAL Pro-Choice Colorado notes that during that time span, teen pregnancies have been cut by half and abortion rates are down by two-thirds.
We continue to see increasing uses of contraception and decreased unintended pregnancy, both with first pregnancies and any additional teen pregnancies in the same families.
In 2013, more than 20 million women in the U.S., most living in poverty, turned to public programs for access to reproductive health care.
Back in the early 1990s, the Kentucky Supreme Court declared that the state's schools were inefficient and inequitable. Now, Tramell Gomes reports a new study shows the state is slipping back to funding levels that sparked the reform.
The Kentucky Education Reform Act was the legislature's response to the Supreme Court ruling. It started funding schools to give equal educational opportunities to all Kentucky children. But Anna Bauman with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says they've found state and local per pupil revenue in Kentucky's wealthiest 20% of school districts was $1,399 more than in the poorest 20% of districts in 2016.
We're creeping back up towards the level of disparity that we had before the Kentucky Education Reform Act.
Facing a bleak budget year for the Kentucky General Assembly, Bauman is sounding the alarm against cuts to a school system that's actually in need of more money to level the playing field.
And finally, Dan Hyman reports clean elections watchdogs are defending West Virginia's strong campaign disclosure law against a state attorney general's opinion that could allow a flow of secret political spending.
AG Patrick Morrissey has written that a state law all but prohibiting anonymous political ads is unconstitutional. Now, the Brennan Center at the NYU School of Law is defending the law. Daniel Weiner is a Brennan Center attorney who says Morrissey's opinion could end the requirement that candidates and groups say who they are and take responsibility for their ads. But he says voters need to know who's behind the ads on, for example, energy issues.
Don't West Virginia voters want to know if those ads are paid for by a Silicon Valley billionaire who is opposed to the coal industry versus a local chamber of commerce?
A.G. Morrissey has argued that the rule would limit free speech by individuals about political issues, but Weiner warns the rule is needed to protect state races from being overrun by shadowy anonymous attack ads.
Dan tells us as of now it is unclear whether the state disclosure law will continue to be enforced. That's our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.